Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 114, In the Green. Yeah, just working on that green and white quilt for lower school director Carolyn. Having a lot of fun with it. It's just fun to have. I don't have a deadline. Obviously, I have an end of the school year deadline. But you know what I did differently with this quilt is I cut everything out. Usually, I don't do that. Usually, I cut a little bit and then piece a little bit and cut a little bit. But I went ahead and did all my cutting, which means I have a huge mess on my table right now. I'm looking at all these piles of various little pieces that need putting together, need assemblage. But I do have on my WordPress blog a picture of a single block and then how the blocks kind of come together. And I think you can see, even though it's just maybe six or so blocks up there, one, two, three, seven, the nature of this quilt. It's very cool. It's interesting looking at the blocks on my board, standing in front of it. I'm very happy with the colors. Looking at the picture, there's one fabric that has a real yellow to it, and most of the greens in this quilt are more of a true green or a blue green, and this is more of a yellow green. Now, when I bought the fabrics, I think there may be six different fabrics, and four main fabrics, and then four half yards and two quarter yards. I guess that's got to be right. Anyway, and so the yellowish fabric is one of the lesser fabrics, so it won't show up that much. And again, as I'm standing in front of it, doesn't bother me at all, but it does in that picture. So take a look. One of the things, of course, when I get all the blocks up, I will be playing around with dispersing the different prints and colors throughout the quilt, so there won't be a concentration of one in one spot the way there is now. But give me your opinion. Let me know what you think. But I am having a lot of fun. I love this part of the work, the sort of the assemblage, where things start coming, the puzzle starts coming together. Very fun. I am sitting and looking. I should have taken a picture of these batiks I bought last week at Thimble Pleasures. Oh, so pretty, so pretty. And then also I have some solids. You can tell just what I love by looking at these fabrics, because the solids, and this is for the dove block that I have not made, but I am going to make for my sampler quilt. And I need to, I wanted to get some blocks done for the green and white quilt so I could actually show them to you and give you a sense of what I'm doing. But the colors for the dove block are like a purple, a plum. I would call plum, like a light plum. I don't know what you would call not mauve, but a light plum, and then a blue. And then, no, I said one color is actually a true plum, and then a blue, and then a lighter plum, a purple that is in the plum family. So that's all, these batiks are like blue and pink and purple. So you can just see where my heart is. It is not necessarily with these greens, but in one of the quilt diaries, I talk about how I'm concerned that I don't have enough variation. And I think you could probably say that's true with the pattern. They're all kind of medium prints, pretty much. But so far, putting the blocks together, I felt like I was concerned about value. And I admit to really still not understanding color. I understand color somewhat, intuitively. I feel like I know what looks good together and what doesn't when I look at it. But sometimes, it's hard when you're buying a lot of fabric at once. And I felt that with buying the fabric for the sampler class that I'm working on with Jay, that was because I started off by buying like 10 different fabrics. And that was really hard. And, I still have intentions on going back to some of those earlier blocks and redoing them. One, because just to do them better, but also because I don't like the fabric that I picked. So I still, I guess a lot of people feel that. A lot of people feel that that's the hardest part, is getting the right fabric. So I want to learn more about that and more about color. But I am happy with how these blocks are turning out. I was feeling very proud of my precision in the earlier piecing of the smaller pieces, but as I'm putting these pieces all together, You know, I mean, I've done this enough to know that I will be okay, that the quilt will be okay, even if these aren't absolutely precise or even close to precise. The eye makes up for a lot of mistakes. You know, our brains kind of put stuff together, you know, even when our sewing machine and skills do not. So I'm not that worried about it, but I was feeling very kind of cocky, like, oh, look at all these little pieces I'm doing. You know, a lot of, they're not wild geese, but similar structures where you've got, say, a 6-inch strip and you sew on either side a 2.5, so six inch long, 2.5 wide, and on either side you sew diagonally on a white square, 2.5 square, you do the diagonal, and then you press the seam toward the upper corner, you know, I get, anyway, these pieces are coming out fair. Precise would be too strong, but better, I feel, than I've done in the past. But then it's still, when you're putting 4 or 5 pieces together to make a block, it loses its close to precisionness. But it's still okay. It still looks fine. It's still cool. The Muggles, they don't know. It is, by the way, March 7th. It's a beautiful day. So, which of course, that means that I spent a good chunk of it in a dark auditorium. It was Battle of the Books, and our team won. This is a regional division for independent schools. That's what we call them, so they don't sound snobby like private school. And we won, and I was actually I wasn't surprised. I would have been surprised if you'd asked me 2 weeks ago, but this last week I've been going to a lot of practices, just helping out by timing, and the kids have really kind of come together, and so I felt like they had a good chance, and there were a couple very strong teams, but ours was the strongest, yay. And so now the only problem with them winning is now there's another round. Fortunately, it's in this area. It's on the 20th, and this will be for the championship for the independent schools, and whoever wins that, then we'll go to the state finals and compete with all the schools from all the different regions. So anyway, I'm happy for our team. It's a nice group of kids. And yes, but it was inside a dark, windowless auditorium, as most auditoriums are probably windowless. And yeah, but it's beautiful and it's going to be nice. It's actually the weather's going to start to head up into the 60s, and we're going to have a really nice stretch of days, which we have earned. Anyway, I want to say thanks to everyone who commented on last week's or the last couple weeks' episodes. I want to say thanks to Sandy H., otherwise known as Sandy from Quilting for the Rest of Us. I want to say thank you to Jay from ArtQuiltMaker.com and also my personal friend and teacher. She had some comments about spray basting, which I've talked about and talk about in the Quilt Diaries. She doesn't use it. And she says she hasn't tried it, so that we should keep that in mind with her comments. But her concerns are, one, she has her backyard is wet most of the time. She's got fog in the summer, so she doesn't have a good outdoor space to spray it. She doesn't want to breathe it. She shares my concerns about spraying into the environment and doesn't want to glue her floors, cabinets, etc. She writes, I also think that batting is pretty sticky, and if you're careful, you can get a nice flat quilt. I'm sure the spray base works really well, but I think I can do it just as well with pins. And I do discuss this in a lot of ways, agree with Jay regarding pins and, well, all the rest of it. And she also said, oh, I didn't talk about my new computer. Do tell. It is I'm using my old computer. It's a MacBook Pro. And it's exactly the same as my old computer, except my old computer is just a MacBook, and this is MacBook Pro, but it seems to be exactly the same, except it moves a lot faster. My old one was getting really gummy, so now my old one is Will's new one, and my current one and is the one I'm using to record podcasts until I figure out Hindenburg. Heard from Sherry D. regarding the cost of fabric. She says, I am so glad I can shop my stash. I cringe at getting quilt shop quality fabric when it is half price at $5 a yard at more. Over the past 10 years, I've gotten a lot of good fabric, and I got most of it in yardages rather than fat quarters, so I'm sitting pretty good. I suppose if I had to buy a lot more fabric, I could do it the old-fashioned way and buy cotton shirts at the thrift store to cut up and use, which is an idea I really love, and I may try to do that as an experiment, see if I can find enough cotton shirts at thrift shops for, say, $2, and see if I can make a quilt out of them. That's a great idea. That could be a good challenge. Heard from Kelly the Fifth, who says it? The Muggles on her coast, the West Coast, think that making quilts is easy. And she says this because she has been asked casually if she would make a quilt for this or that. And she knows that they have no idea of the cost or the time. And, you know, I don't know. I have not had that experience yet. But I don't know. That's an interesting thought because I could see that, you know, because that happens with knitting. You know, and people will ask you to knit them things. Now, I knit my friend Sarah hat, and I was very happy to do it. It was a very easy pattern, and she bought the yarn and all. You know, so it's not something that I resent, but I think sometimes when people ask you to knit them a pair of socks or something, it's just like you realize it takes a lot of time, and really the yarn to knit a pair of socks is, you know, it's going to cost like $25, and, you know, I think hand-knit socks are worth that, but nonetheless, they don't seem to have a sense of the kind of commitment you're making to that kind of project. So I definitely have experienced that with knitting. Heard from Tori. And Tori, you say you're going to be here around here in April for your college reunion and May for Katie's graduation. I can't believe Tori's daughter Katie goes to NC State, very close by. I can't believe Katie's graduating. Anyway, let me know when you're in town and we'll get together. Heard from AJ Dubb. She was one of many people who said, give the quilt to Beth Crawford. That's the administrative assistant at the lower school. And so, yes, I will. I will. I think I pretty much come to that conclusion myself, but it was good to get affirmation. Heard from Shelley, another one, saying, give her the quilt. I thought this was hilarious. Side note, in my head, she, Beth, the administrative assistant, looks just like Professor McGonagall. While you are at Hogwarts, your house will be like your family. That's my Scottish accent, which is hilarious because she actually doesn't like anything by like Professor McGonagall, but Professor McGonagall is one of my favorite characters of all time, so I'm happy that you had that thought. And then got some more comments from Jay, who is also starting to cringe at the cost of fabric. Yeah, and she says that she agrees with Sherry D. She's glad that she can shop in her stash. Well, I'll be interesting to hear what Sandy at Quilt Cabana Corner has to say. It's Quilt Cabana, which is not the same as Katie at Katie's Quilting Corner. Sorry, guys, get y'all mixed together there. Yeah, I'll be interested to see what she says and what kind of comments she got, and we can continue the discussion over there. And Jay also thinks if my practice quilt, this is the one for the class I'm taking on Craftsy, it's really bugging me, make a new one. You know, it's not bugging that much. I've gone back and forth, but now I have basted it, which I talk about, and I think I can live with it because it is a practice quilt. It's not something I'm planning on doing anything with. I want to be able to practice and mess up, and so it's okay. I think I'm okay. I've learned a lesson. And that's always important. I want to say thank you to everyone who took the time to comment. If you would like to comment on this week's episode, come on over to my WordPress site. And there's pictures there, so that'll be fun. It is theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. Come on over. That is actually the sound of my... Oh, you know what? I'm bringing up my email on my wrong thing because I'm on Wills, and I got an email. No, I can't find it now. I'm sorry. But you can email me if you want to, and I will write back to you eventually. Sometimes it takes a little while for me to do that. But my email is fdowell@ nc.rr.com. And it was Carol. I got an email from Carol. Thank you, Carol. I do enjoy getting emails. And, and she gave me an insight on making quilts for others and not hesitating and making a quilt for Beth. So thank you for that. It was great, great, great hearing from you. Okay. Wow. I've gone on a long time today. So settle in and enjoy On with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary, day one. It's Saturday, March 2nd. Thank goodness it's March. We needed to get out of February. Although, guess what? It's kind of gloomy. It's going to be another gloomy week, but that's okay. I have my sun lamp, or whatever you call it, my sad lamp, my ultra photon violet visual get me out of this winter funk lamp, and it works. I am sitting here at the dining room table, aka my quilting table, surrounded by recording gear, because of course I haven't figured out how to do Audacity or anything on my new computer, which, by the way, Jay asked about my new computer. It is a MacBook Pro, although this is actually my old computer. I'm recording on my old Audacity program. And I do have, well, you know, I got an audio, little Sony handheld audio recorder for Christmas. And I thought, oh, I'm going to record on that. And then I will upload it to my new recording program, whatever that is. I can't think of what it's called now, on my new computer. And then I just realized I have all these files on my new little audio recorder, and I don't quite know what they are. And, you know, I really need to sit down and clear it out and learn what I'm doing. So for now, I'm going to use my old computer, old Audacity program, until I get everything cleared up and ship shape. I'm having kind of a quilty day, not really, but a quilty afternoon. I just ran over to Thimble Pleasures to get some new leads for my Soline pencil, which I need. I'm about to, what do I need them for? Oh, I think for the block I'm working on with Jay, the Dove block. And I got a few really pretty blue batiks, a blue and violet batik, a blue and green sort of peacock kind of batik, and then a light violet. So this is, of course, for my mosaic quilt. You know, one of the things is I haven't done any repeat fabrics, and if I have to do 100 blocks, it might be just insane. I can't just go buy 100, well, I could go buy 100 fat quarters or whatever, but I really have plenty of fabric, so maybe shouldn't be buying new fabric. But, you know, I actually took a picture last night of my mosaic quilt, what I have. I put it on the floor with 10 blocks to a row, just so you could see. And I do think that the 100 blocks estimate is correct. It really visually looks like that's what it's going to be. It looks really cool. And the picture I took, you know, it's going to take a while once I'm done with all the blocks, 5 or 6 years from now, to really play with them and figure out where each block should go, ideally. And so the picture, they're a little bit haphazard, but I still think it looks really cool. So I was kind of excited about that, and I want to keep some energy up for that. But, you know, the idea, who knows, maybe I'll have 100 blocks for it by the end of the spring, end of the summer, end of the year. You never know. So I did pick up some fabric. I feel like I picked up one more thing. Oh, some template plastic. So nice little trip, very quick. It just takes about 15 minutes to drive over there if I actually go on the highway, the 15501 highway. Sometimes I like to go the back way, and that adds a few more minutes, but it can be very pretty in the spring or the fall. But on a day like today, it's like, let's just get her done. Let's get over. Let's get home. So when I got home, I took my machine quilting class quilt out to the garage, and I spray basted it. And I have to say, it was a very easy process. It worked really well. This is, you know, it's a smallish quilt. Let's call it 35 by 40. It might be bigger than that. I'm not really good. But yeah, I'm always surprised how big like quilt tops that are 55 by 60 are. And I would think that's about right. Maybe 40 by 45. Anyway, I'm sure it says somewhere in some place on Craftsy. But it was very easy. I just laid down a painter's cloth, and, you know, the good things, and I reviewed my notes before I went out from class. That's the thing. Okay, I'm really digging Craftsy. I think it's really cool. I feel like for a year, you guys would say, oh, try this Craftsy class, or this Craftsy class is on sale, try this, and I've just been like, oh, I don't know. But this is really, but now I'm like, oh, this is cool, and thanks to Noni, who emailed me, there's some free Craftsy classes. I don't know if they'll still be up for sale, free, by the time I post this, but one was on machine quilting. There were several lectures. This was part of a packet of lectures from the Is it ModCon? You know, the big conference that was just the big quilting, modern quilting convention in Austin. And there was one I haven't even glanced at on photography, an Amy Butler lecture on color, and then a modern machine quilting for modern quilts. So thanks, Noni, for that, because I went over and quote-unquote purchased it right away. I got that, and then there was a quilt of the month, a block of the month, which my mom has mentioned before. There are a couple blocks of the month, and I did sign up for one. Whether or not I'll do it, you know, I still have to finish the block of the month that my mom and I were doing last year. I've got 3 or 4 more blocks, so that's another thing. Wow, I'm really mounting up the projects here. And you know what? My friend Catherine, who used to be here, is now in Birmingham, Alabama, had baby number 4 last week. Ended up having a C-section. All the others had been regular deliveries, whatever they call that. I think I know what they call that. But this was C-section because he was a little bit sideways. So, of course, he's beautiful, you know, because he didn't have to go through the birth canal and get all squished up. Beautiful baby. Anyway, I'm like, oh, I should make him a quilt. But then her oldest daughter, Megan, is my goddaughter. I should make her a quilt. And then I would need to make her second child, Theo, a quilt too. So really, the project's piling up in a serious big way. But back to my quilt. Oh, Craftsy. That's where I got offline here. So I did. I went and I reviewed my notes. And I love the Craftsy thing where you can take notes during the classes and the class stops and you type in your little notes. So it's very convenient. So I went and reviewed my notes about basting, which was helpful. I'm glad I did because I think I had it in my head that she wanted us to spray the batting, and quite the opposite. She said spray the wrong side of the fabric, and that will help the batting from getting too gummy and you know, gumming up your needle. So helpful hint. I guess I should not give too many helpful hints. Probably have to buy the class to get all the great helpful hints. But another helpful hint, she says, you know, you don't have to, you know, spray all that much, and that you can readjust. You know, you can, even after you spray, it's not like it's a done deal. You can at that point move things around, which is good because I needed to. I could see with a bigger quilt, like a bed-size quilt, I can't see spray basting that, to be quite honest, because it's a little bit of work. You know, I guess some people might say, well, so is putting in pins. But pins, once, you know, if you're working from the center out and you're being careful and smoothing things down and got the bottom taped down, I just do that on my floor. I've got a hardwood floor in here, and I just tape the back to the floor, and you know, it's fairly straightforward. Whereas this, I really had to, you know, I was smoothing out from the middle, but you know, it had to mess around with it a bit to get everything smooth. But I did, and I brought it back in here and ironed it, and it's together, and it seems to be holding together. So I can definitely see the spray basting for smaller projects makes perfect sense. I took it out to the garage, as I said, so I didn't get woozy from it. I didn't really even notice it too much. I don't know, maybe I, you know, small quilt, I didn't use a ton of spray. But so I am pleased with the experiment. I will not go invest in tons of cans of this 505 spray basting, but I could see using it again. And I think it was Sandy, either in an email or a comment, and this is Sandy from Quilting for the Rest of Us, who said something along the lines, you know, she's doing more creative art quilt type projects, and the spray base comes in really handy with that, you know, and I could see that. It could be very frustrating to do pins. Anyway, so I'm pleased. She wants us, and the teacher, to do a stitch in the ditch around the borders with the, I want to say monochromatic filament, but that's not it. Maybe it's just monofilament, the clear stuff. So in fact, I always remember what Tanisha said about that, put it in the freezer. So I have some, which I'm going to go put in the freezer, and I'll give that a try. I don't know if I'll do that today or not, because I'm sitting here right now. First of all, surrounded by all my gear, my unsuccessful recording gear, and I need to clean up. And I'm not sure what I'm going to do next after I stop. I'll probably come back today. This will just be a quilting with Frances Day. I'm not that far off from finishing my cutting for Carolyn's green and white quilt. And you know what? I have that book right in front of me. I'm going to tell you what it is called in case you are playing along at home. It is called Flower Boxes. It's a really cool looking quilt. And then the one I want to do for Beth is called Sparkler. It's really neat too. I like both of these quilts a whole lot. Beth's quilt will be 59.5 by 59.5 when it's finished. And Carolyn's will be 64.5 by 64.5. So they're kind of mid-sized quilts there. Anyway, I'm excited to have this day to work. I really should go to the gym. It's 3 o'clock now. I might run over and just lift weights for 20 minutes or so. But part of me is just like, I just want to stay here. So we will see. Tomorrow, though, starting next week, back to a much more serious gym schedule. This past week, I think I went once. And I'm really... And I don't think I got a lot of walking in either. It wasn't a great week for exercise. So this week I want to get a lot of walking in, and I'll, you know, lift weights at least twice and do the ellipticals a couple times. Because you know what? It's pennies on the dollar, my friend. It's like making an investment in my own good health. So yeah, so I think I'm going to get off here and cut green strips. And who knows, maybe I'll cut some mosaic strips. But I also want to work on the dove block that Jay has assigned me, and that I'm going to have to remind myself how to do stencils and all that, but that'll be fun. Anyway, that is that for now, and I may be back, so I'll just give a tenuous, not really permanent, semi-realistic goodbye, because I could be back soon. Okay, I'm back. I just have to tell you, I'm here watching Amy Butler creating your unique color story. This is on Craftsy. It's the free QuiltCon lecture. Turns out the photography thing, which I still haven't watched, I think it's her husband who did that. Just want to say about Amy Butler. First, you know, love her. I've always loved her fabrics. Have been slightly jealous of her because she seems to live in this kind of artist wonder world, which you imagine is what happens when, I don't think she has kids. Now, she may be really young. I can't tell. But, you know, I've seen, I think it's in a Where Women Create article. You know, so of course her house is gorgeous, and she's gorgeous. Her husband is gorgeous. You know what kills me? She seems like the nicest person in the world. When she finished up her formal talk, which she showed a lot of slides from a recent trip she took to Egypt, which was really neat, and she's like, you know, people are just like, oh, you know, I was so nervous. Oh, I think I did okay. I was so nervous when I started. And now she's answering questions, and she's just so incredibly nice. It was like watching the Oscars the other night. I actually didn't see the Daniel Day-Lewis speech actually till the next day. And I love Daniel Day-Lewis. He's special to me. And you just kind of want to hate his wife, who is not only married to Daniel Day-Lewis, he's also a very successful film producer and director. She's a writer. She has a new book out. I just heard it reviewed on All Things Considered. And so there's Daniel Day-Lewis making his very funny, witty, wonderful Oscar acceptance speech, and they pan to her, and she's beautiful. And as my friend Danielle put it, age-appropriately dressed. So she looked fabulous, but she looked, you know, she's 50, and she looks like a very beautiful 50. She was wearing a beautiful gown for a beautiful 50-year-old woman to wear, and she was tearing up, and she looked so nice. I'm like, oh, please don't be nice on top of the fact that you're married to Daniel Day-Lewis and have this fabulous career and are Arthur Miller's daughter and just have everything, and you're nice, please. But really, she did seem nice, and Amy Butler seems so nice. But it's really fun to hear her. She's talking right now about kind of her creative process, and that's inspiring. So I'm excited. Thank you again to Noni for letting me know, giving that the stuff was out there on Craftsy. So go look it up. Go listen to Amy. Oh, you'll like her so much. Okay. I am this is big. I finished cutting out all the fabric for Carolyn's green and white quilt, and which, let's see, what is it called again? flower boxes. I'm only going to refer to it as Carolyn's green and white quilt, so I don't know why I'm telling you the title, the actual official title, but I guess if you want to look it up. So now I'm about to start sewing block assembly. I'm going to be making 64 folded corner units with white fabric and various green prints, and moving on from there. I just am excited to actually start getting into some block assembly. Very exciting. Okay, more later. Bye. Quilt Diary, day 2. It is Wednesday, March 6th, 2013. I am doing a little housework. It's about, 5 minutes before 2. I've thought about going to the gym to lift weights, but I'm proud to say I have gone to the gym twice this week. My goal is 4 times a week, plus walking every weekday morning. Although tomorrow I won't, because we've got the big Battle of the Books competition over at school. It is our district competition. I'm a timekeeper. I help out sometimes with our Battle of the Books team, and that is what I will be doing. So no dog walking, but hopefully some gym going. Anyway, you know, it'd be great to go to the gym 5 times a week, but that just may be more than I can do. Also, I have to say, my house is looking kind of skeezy right now. It's not. It's, you know, I think my last really big clean was for the Valentine's Day ladies' luncheon. That's been 3 weeks, you know. So I do a lot of toilet paper and spit kind of cleaning. Yeah, and the kitchen, of course, stays clean. We stay on top of the kitchen, but the upstairs is looking a little ugh. So anyway, so that can be a workout too, can't it? Yes, it can. Well, let me tell you where I am. First of all, watching the QuiltCon lectures on Craftsy, really interesting. You may have done this by now, because I was listening to Sandy over Quilting for the Rest of Us, and she mentioned it on her most recent podcast, so you may know all about this. I've really enjoyed it. I watched, as I mentioned, Amy Butler, and then I watched Jackie Gehring, I believe is the last name. She's a modern quilter. I liked her one because she looks to be about my age, so I felt like, oh, sister. Interesting, and this is one of the interesting things about all these lectures I've watched so far, with the exception of Amy Butler. Everyone's been quilting like 5 years. Apparently, in the modern quilt world, that's what it takes. Put in your 5 years and you get to make a living as a quilter. Now, how cool is that? You know, I liked Jackie's talk a lot, and I also really like her quilts. I did not know who she was, but when she showed a picture of her book, I recognized the book. And when she showed slides of her quilts, it's like, wow, great designer. I still don't feel inspired to make modern quilts. You know, a couple years ago, I was really into a modern quilt thing. But I really like them. And especially, you know, it's like anything. In the same, any kind of quilt, you have their quilts that are just less inspired and those that are more inspired. And I don't really think it matters what tradition they fall into. They're beautiful quilts all over the place. And hers are just really, really cool. So I was a little disappointed because the title of her talk was something along the lines of honoring tradition, or a modern quilter talks about tradition. And the fact is, she stated this up front, she actually knows nothing about traditional quilts. She started quilting about 5 years ago. Immediately, I think, saw the Gies Bend quilts, and just, you know, like so many of us, were very inspired by them and got going. And so when she talked about a tradition, it was more the tradition in her family of making things. Apparently, it's just a lot of woodworking. It's like her dad, I think there's a bed that's on the cover of her book that her dad made it. I believe that's right. I don't think I'm mixing that up with another story from someone else. I'm pretty sure that's right. And mom made clothes and ceramics and all sorts of stuff. So that's the tradition that she's talking about. And, you know, and that's fine. But I actually had been looking forward to hearing someone kind of talk about the yin and yang, the modern and the traditional. And you know who really did that more was Mary Fonz. I have become, in this short period of time, huge Mary Fonz fan. Huge. Now, I don't have a lot of experience with her. I obviously knew that she was Mary Ann Fonz's daughter. I saw her once on Fonz and Porter quilting. Yeah, it's been a while. I've just started taping that again or DVRing that. But anyway, and, you know, seemed very nice, a little bit like, you know, and an interesting story in that she really was not into quilting for a long, long time. And then guess what? About 5 years ago, she got into it. And that, you know, and it's neat. And, you know, of course, there's a little part of you that's like, oh, okay, well, you know, you get to now be a huge big wheel in the quilting world because your mom is. But you know what? She's really good. I mean, as a quilter, she's fine. I just got my first issue of Quilty. I downloaded it. Again, listening to Sandy over Quilting for the Rest of Us. A few weeks ago, she did an episode on magazines and, what you know, downloading versus getting the traditional paper version. And I decided I would download. Now, I downloaded on my MacBook, not my iPad. And I kind of wish I'd done it on my iPad now, just simply because I really like reading on my iPad. And but I thought with the MacBook, I had a bigger screen to work with, which I do. I didn't. That wasn't just a thought. That's a true fact. And I liked it. You know, I have seen it at Joann's. I have seen Quilty at Joann's. And, you know, so I said, oh, these quilts are not quite what I'm doing. They're a little simple. But, you know, what reading through this magazine, there was useful information, and I liked her talk very much. She has a background in performance, and you see that she's a good performer. And in fact, I've watched some Quilty episodes online now, and just she's quite delightful. So she may have gotten a step up from being Marianne Fawn's daughter, but she owns it. She talks about she's from the, you know, a member of the quilting mafia family and that kind of thing. So she's owning it, but she gave a really neat talk. A lot of it was focused on her big thing is helping beginners. Talks about how, you know, it's been a while now since people took home ec, girls took home ec and learned how to sew. And so you've got these young women and sometimes older women who are interested in quilting, who don't know the first thing about a sewing machine. And, you know, that certainly described me when I took up sewing. I quickly converted to quilting, or pretty quickly, but I got my first sewing machine 6 or 7 years ago, just a $100 deal. And you know, I just followed the instructions in the book. You know, my mother, of course, sewed, and I mean, sewed clothes for me when I was a kid, and tried to teach me how to sew. So, you know, I maybe knew a little bit about sewing, but not very much. And, you know, and it's, there's a bit of a learning curve there. And so she talked about, you know, just wanting to help beginners out and help them. You know, she said she's kind of gets tired of talking to quilting teachers who say, oh, I hate teaching beginners. And, you know, they're on their phones all the time. And she said, well, they might be on their phones because they're looking something up. They're scared to ask you a question. They miss something you said. Or they might be texting their friends to say, I'm in this great quilting class. And that was another thing of hers. Of course, she goes to the quilt markets and has been in the, you know, around the quilting business all her life. But, and one of the things she realized is, like, it was not geared toward the younger generation. She's in her early 30s, you know. She asked a friend of hers, like, if you wanted to learn how to do such and such, like, I can't remember the example, some quilting example, what would you do? And her friend said, oh, I'd look on YouTube. And you know, so like, eureka, of course, younger quilters are going to learn differently. They're going to use online resources. They may be using their phones during class, texting or looking stuff up. So she's really about helping younger quilters or newer quilters, not always younger, but newer quilters, beginning quilters get started. And I think that's a very laudable goal. She did talk about modern quilting and traditional quilting, not so much versus traditional quilting. And she said, you know, she basically loves all quilts and that, she didn't know what to think of herself because she likes blocks. You know, she makes blocks. But I think her sensibility is very modern. And in fact, looking at the issue of Quilty I got, and I actually got the January, February. There's a new issue out, but I thought I would get that in paper and see and experience one issue online and one in paper. See, here's me not buying any more magazines. But what I liked, you know, the quilts in there, on the one hand, I was like, well, I probably wouldn't make them. They're just kind of not what I'm doing right now. Although there are a few, I was like, you know, I mean, they're easy quilts. And then, you know, it was like, I'm not above easy quilts, but I'm also, I think, at a point in my development where I'm, you know, trying to push myself a little bit. And I feel too, I don't know, but you know, I just had this thought, okay, this is like total a tangent. So I'm working on Carolyn's green and white quilt. And one of the things I'm realizing, so, you know, it's obviously green and white, and I think I didn't get enough dark greens. I think my greens, there's too much of the same value. What I realized is I really need to learn more about color. And, you know, that came up with my practice quilt, and Noni pointed out, you know, the problem with, you know, what maybe the reason I didn't like my border is it was just too the same value. That it was, I guess, what we say. I don't even know how to talk about it. Are values mediums? You know, do we talk about, I mean, values about intensity, light, dark? I don't know. And I feel like I've kind of studied this stuff, but I haven't. I need to know more about color. And so maybe doing some simple quilts would help. And I'm a little scared now about Carolyn's quilt because I'm like, what if I don't have enough different values? What if there's not enough contrast? We'll see, because I've sewed all these pieces together. So it's not like right now I'm going to say, well, you know what? I'm going to go get more fabric and re-sew these pieces. It's more like I'm going to see how this works, and it's coming together pretty quickly. So if it doesn't work, I can do another one. But the thing about the quilts and quilty is I thought, I love the colors. I love, and again, this is where I think that Mary Fonce has this very modern sensibility. That it's very bright, lots of whites. She does use prints, you know, in a modern quilting. There's not, I think, as much use of prints, or at least, you know, there's a tendency toward more use of solids, which, you know, I really like solids a lot. But, you know, I thought in the quilts I looked at, and there were a lot of patterns, and this would be, and they, you know, they're actively soliciting patterns. So if you are, you know, kind of modern and young in your sensibility, you know, come up with a quilt pattern and send it to them. I thought maybe I'll do that sometime. I don't know. I'm always saying I'm going to design a quilt. I haven't yet. But I liked, I would say, 95% of them. I mean, that's really high. And I think a big part of it is I like the colors that they used. I like the colors in the quilts a lot. You know, I found this, I feel like, in the last couple issues of McCall's, I feel, you know, that there's a lot of muddiness in the colors. It may just be that there's a lot of greens and browns and stuff that, you know, not that I don't use. Obviously, I'm doing a quilt that's almost all green. But I really liked the brightness in the quilty quilts. And so who knows? Maybe I'll do some of those simple quilts as a way of tutoring myself in color. My mom and I are taking a color class. Actually, I think it's like color for the modern quilt, but I mean color is color. But we are taking a color class in Cincinnati, and I'm really glad we're doing that because I need help. I need to study. I've got a book. I just need to study and learn some more. So anyway, huge Mary Fonce fan now, and she's delightful. She's really good and has a great presence. And I've just appreciated what she had to say about quilts and was very, you know, just basically it's like, I don't want to hear any, you know, negative talk from anyone. I don't want to hear anyone being discouraged by, you know, they go into a guild with their modern quilt and, you know, people turn their noses up at it. And in the same way, you know, tradition should be respected, which it should, you know? So I liked her. I liked what she had to say. Definitely worth watching. I started watching one, it was a modern quilter, I believe her name was Heather, talking about getting inspired design ideas from nature. And it's actually pretty interesting. I didn't watch the whole thing. But it was neat to look at these. You know, she would show pictures like, oh, I was looking at this and here's what I designed. And that was kind of cool. And yes, I think she'd been quilting for about 5 years. So I have a couple more to watch. There's actually the one that Noni, when she emailed me, was really recommending, the one on modern machine quilting. And I still need to watch that. I think I tried the other night and for some reason was just having, it kept buffering, you know. So I went on to watch more West Wing. So I highly recommend tuning that in. It's free. If you're not registered on Craftsy, that's free to do too. And you can do that. And then you can get your free QuiltCon class. I think it's really cool that they made those videos available. And they're neat. It's a neat discussion about quilting. So I've been watching that, I'm just putting together pieces. So my hope is tomorrow, Thursday, when I post this, assuming I do post it tomorrow, and I should, that I will have, my goal is to have a block put together to show you. I have a semi-goal of doing the dove block that Jay and I discussed in our last class. I have the fabric for it. I've got the template plastic. I'm ready to go. I just need to do it. It's fun having a project like Carolyn's quilt. For some reason, just, you know, it's like, okay, I have to do 124 of these and 384 of these, you know, and it's kind of neat. I'm very kind of goal-oriented in that way, and I just like projects and I like puzzles, so it's been hard. You know, I was thinking, oh, when I get home from picking up the boys this afternoon, I should do the dove. I'm like, but I want to put together a block with the quilt, you know, so who knows. But really right now I should get back to, yes, it's now, I've been talking for quite a while now, and I need to get back to house cleaning. I really don't think I'm going to make it to the gym, so I better run up and down the stairs several times. I don't know if this is going to be the end, so I won't make it the end, because I might something might happen later today or tomorrow before I post this that I will want to tell you about. So I will be back, and I hope you will too.